It's always at least a little bit nerve-wracking to be up here looking out at everyone else. And I was a little wondering about that piece, but I thought the kids will know how to do it. And they do, which is awesome. Our Bible reading this morning is Psalm 120. And just before we hear those words, before we hear God's word together, let's ask for the blessing and presence of God's Holy Spirit today. Lord Jesus, you promise us that you are always with us, that wherever we are, no matter how we're feeling, whether we are just super pumped and charged or whether we're really scared, that your Spirit is always here, that you're always with us. You promise that it's by your Spirit, through your Spirit, that you walk along with us, that you talk along with us, that you open our ears and our hearts to hear what we need to hear, to vent what we need to vent, or to talk about those things that we haven't dared to say before anywhere else. And so we trust that as we hear your word this morning, as we hear it from an ancient community, and as we bring ourselves into that conversation this morning, we trust that once again that you, by your Spirit, will lead us. We pray, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. Right, so let's listen now to Psalm 120. And it's the NIV, right? So I just have to do this. It's like I gotta have it. Psalm 120. Our message will focus specifically and mostly on taking off on verse 1. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and what more besides, O deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war. This is God's word. Thanks be to God. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. These desperate cries to the Lord, these calls to the Lord, echo across the Psalms. And we can just go to that blank screen that I have, Gideon. Yeah, thanks. If you listen to the Psalms, you'll have heard words like this before. Oh, no, the black one. Perfect. There we go. Thanks. Psalm 10. Psalm 10 says, why, O Lord, are you so far away? And what's going on that the wicked are so secure and comfortable? Psalm 13 asks this painful question. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every single day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy get the best of me? Psalm 17, listen, Lord, listen to me. Hear my cry. I have done nothing to deserve this. Notice here that the Bible knows about and the Bible gives voice to righteous sufferers. And so this weeping, crying fellow human says to God, he says, though you test me, you won't find anything. You'll find nothing. One of the things that we need to be cautious and somewhat careful about as we listen to the Bible, as we listen to the people in the Bible, is with our theology around sin. This psalmist says, I have done nothing to deserve this. And it's possible for us to do kind of an end run around this honest, open voice by saying, all humans are sinful, come on. We have to be really careful about that because it insulates us from feeling compassion and it shifts us over into looking to see just what this person really has done that they're not talking about. But that's theology from a different conversation. It's a different context entirely. And anyone know what the Bible's oldest story is? The oldest story in the Bible? Boom. Yes, thank you. The oldest story in the Bible is Job. It's easy for us to think it must be Genesis because that's at the beginning. The oldest material in the Bible is the book of Job. And of Job, the Lord says, I got nobody like that guy. Have you considered my servant Job? Amazing, amazing person. And then Luke tells us about Zechariah and Elizabeth and says that they were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. The Bible knows that there are certain kinds of pain and suffering of which and for which you or I or our neighbor are, in the fullest sense, innocent and righteous. As per Psalm 26, another desperate cry to God that says, vindicate me, O Lord, because I've led a blameless life. And so all these groans, all these cries. People have asked me before, you know, so what's a really good way to read the Bible? And it was always kind of fun to say, well, you read the Bible like this. No. Read the Bible with our ears. We need to hear the scripture. This is not a dead text that we get to dissect and investigate and explore and even exegete. The Bible is a living, breathing book that captures prayer and conversation and discussion and dialogue. And so we listen with our ears because it's written for our ears. It's easy for us to forget that the Bible comes from this oral culture, and then even when it's written to be read out loud. You see, the Bible aims at our hearts through our ears. So I ask you, what do those desperate cries sound like? What do they sound like? So many of our own urgent or fearful prayers might be whispered silently. You know, the things we don't dare to say, things we don't dare to talk about that we desperately need to talk about. What do those cries sound like? I trust that they sound something like this. That they sound like, ah! That's a cry of pain. It's pain in our body. It's distress in our souls. That's what we do. We go, ah! If you are human, and we don't know each other very well, but I can see that you're human. If you're human, then you carry at least some distress in your heart. You carry some in your soul. You carry distress in your body. We all do. And so this is something that may have never happened in the whole long history of First CRC before. Always a good first time. On the count of three, I will invite you to cry out to God with me. Do you know what we're going to do? I'll go one, two, three, and then we can all together, we'll go, ah, with our distress. Here we go. One, two, three, ah! That was practice. One, two, three, ah! One more time. One, two, three, ah! And so I ask you, thank you for taking that risk. What is the distress that you're carrying? What is the distress that you're holding? What is the distress that possibly right now you were venting, that you were giving breath to, that you were bringing to the Lord just now? And if anyone would like, or feel no pressure from me, but if there is, then I just invite you, here's an opportunity. You could say some of that stuff out loud. Is there any distress that you are crying out to God about? I will say for myself, I mentioned it in the council room just before, seeing people on the street. You know, seeing people as it gets cold. This morning, I came downstairs at my house, and the furnace did not kick in for some reason. But it's a furnace that I've gotten to know fairly well. So I went downstairs and there's a little igniter thing. I sanded it off. We had heat. You know, but the thought that there are people who live in the cold is distressing to me. I'm just curious, anybody, anything that distresses you?
Ukrainian war.
Ah, thank you. Yeah, yeah, that horrible, horrible, fully unnecessary war in Ukraine. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Anyone else, anything that distresses you? Yes? Yes, yeah, 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 thank you. Yeah, I'm married to an elementary teacher, and so pretty aware of the situation in the schools. So the little kids that are getting sick with respiratory illnesses, absolutely, makes feel distress, right? We cry out to God with that.
Yeah. People in tents.
Thank you. People in tents. Yeah, tents are for summer. Tents are for camping, right? Tents are for recreation. Tents are not for living in through the winter in Alberta. And so these things that we cry out to God for, you know, we did this same exercise once in one of our programs at work. I did. And so we're not at that slide yet, Gideon. Stay with the black screen. But what I did was I wrote across the top of a whiteboard. I wrote the first part of this verse. It said, I cry out to the Lord. And as we sat in this room together, I invited about 10 of us, I think, to groan our pain to God. And so 10 men did this in a relatively small room. And the program manager came running because she was scared that something terrible was happening. You know, and it was simply 10 men just going, and bringing pain and sorrow and grief and sadness to God. And then I asked the group the same question. I asked them, what is it that causes you distress? And these are some of the things that they shared. We're not ready for the slide yet. They said, rejection. They said, living with a sense of foreboding that something bad's going to happen. They said death or loss, frustration, migraines, fear of the unknown. One of my friends said other people, overwhelming sadness, poverty, fear, chronic pain, loss of control. And I'm confident that if we would carry a whiteboard through the inner city, many of the same reasons for distress would end up on the board. And few of these reasons for distress have easy answers or quick fixes. You know, and even if we're saying, well, some of that stuff, you know, if you just do this differently in your life, if you change this in your life, then, you know, if you become a Christian, some of these guys are Christians. Changing in our lives is really hard. Anyone ever try it? It is hard, right? It's really, really hard. And as I listened to the distress in that room, and as I listened to the things that we name, the war in Ukraine, little children, issues like that, as I listened to our distress, it's easy for me to just kind of lose my bearings. Like, what do we do with all this stuff? And that's kind of what happened to me that morning at work. And it was getting close to the end of our time, and I didn't know what to say, so I did the best thing that I knew, and I gave the question back to the group. I asked them, how should we land this? Where do we go with this? The psalm invites us, I cry aloud to the Lord. We did that, and now there's just this big explosion of awful, awful, hard things. And then one of my friends who was sitting in the group that morning, she said, well, just finish the verse. And so we did. And if we can have that slide, I'll show you what we ended up with. Yeah, so there it is. I cry aloud to God. And we filled the board up with all this stuff, you know, feeling or being out of control. We added vulnerability. You know, for us as human beings to know and to come to grips with our vulnerability, the bottom word there is abandonability. The hard reality that it is possible for other humans to say they've had enough of us and walk away and leave. And they can leave us behind. And so I wrote, "And he hears me," down the side. And he hears us. And he hears us. And so there it is. A messy, sloppy, hopeful, faith-filled prayer. You know, just like that. We wrote a psalm together, is what we did. Thank you. Thank you, Gideon. Thanks. So we wrote a psalm together, like Psalm 30, verse 2, that says, "O Lord my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me." Psalm 31 says, "In my alarm I said, I'm cut off from your sight, yet you heard my cry. You heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help." And so we wrote a psalm, and the thing about psalm writing is that any one of us can write our own. I cry to the Lord, and just fill it up with your own stuff. And he hears us.
Amen.
And now I draw to your attention, as we get kind of close to being finished this morning with the sermon part of our worship time, that the act of God that gets the most attention in the entire First Testament, the entire Old Testament, the great rescue from Egypt, that's like the big show, that's the big deal in the whole Old Testament. It's like this foundational narrative under the whole Old Testament where the most powerful ruler of the day buckles and he lets the Hebrew children go free, and that whole huge story is set in motion by these words. It says, "The Israelites groaned in their slavery." They said, "Ah, this hurts so much, this slavery." And then their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. And then this is what it says. God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them.
Amen.
The story that is the foundation, the engine of the whole Old Testament, is set in motion by human beings crying out to God and God having compassion and concern and remembering and acting. And I also draw to your attention that Jesus on the cross dying for us, as we are so familiar with, we know this so deeply and so well, is at the very same time Jesus dying with us, with all innocent sufferers. You see, Jesus takes Psalm 22 on his lips and he cries out in his distress, with all the distressed. When Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from the words of my groaning?" And then Jesus died. And to all appearances, his cries and his prayers went unheard. That's what it looked like. Just as, and part of the reality is that just as so many people have cried out to God till their throats were raw, till their hearts were broken, and then died without seeing any response from God at all. And yet, 3 days later, God responded. God raised up Jesus from the dead. And Jesus, significantly for us this morning, Jesus is called the first. Right? Jesus is the firstborn, the first fruits. Jesus is the beginning of God raising up and responding to all who call on him in distress. So that we might live and walk, even in these troubled times, with hope in our hearts. So that we won't live with distress and shrink back into safe bubbles or cocoons or a kind of faith that is just about me and Jesus. God raised up Jesus so that we might trust that there is always hope. And so that we might accept that we are called to also be part of God's answer to each other. That we are called to be part of God's answer to our neighbors. That we are called to be part of God's answer to all who cry out in distress for compassion, or for mercy, or for gentleness. Can we flip that slide up once more, Gideon? Thank you. So have a look and see if you can find something on that board that cannot be met by compassion, by kindness, by gentleness, by patience, by being willing to accompany someone, by traveling with someone through their journey. All the stuff on the board can be met in part by those followers of Jesus who are unafraid to step into and to walk alongside anyone who's experiencing anything like this. Find something on the board that we are completely estranged from. We know this stuff. And so we trust again, that God most often comes to us through us, as we say. Thank you, Gideon. So we're called to be part of God's answer to all who cry out in distress from these things, these deeply emotional things, or who cry out in distress for lack of shelter, or food, or socks. We started this morning with one line from Psalm 120, and that psalm is the trigger psalm for the Psalms of Ascent. It's a trigger confession that gets a whole community moving on the way and on the road together. And I leave you with a blessing that is Psalm 20. It's from Psalm 20. It's the most beautiful blessing for us to hear right now. It says, "May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May the Lord send you help from the sanctuary. May the Lord give you the desires of your heart and make all your plans succeed." Some people trust in chariots, and some in horses, but we together say here that we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And all God's people said,